I spent 40 years in the military, and starting out as a little band boy, believe it or not, at the tender age of 15. And I then progressed through my career. I listened to what people were advising me to do. And the best advice I got, by the way, was from a major from the Education Corps. And he said, if you want to succeed in this man's army, polish your shoes, press your trousers, cut your hair, like it's not at the moment, and make sure you're on parade 5 minutes before you need to be there. And if you do that, you'll succeed. I listened to every word he said, and I retired as a lieutenant colonel. Not bad. So my career is I'm a musician. I joined the army as a musician, and I progressed. I went to the Royal Military School of Music, graduated as a conductor, and then eventually was commissioned. On commissioning, I then held a couple of posts, and eventually I got a job which I considered to be unparalleled in military music, and that's the job of the Director of Music of the Coldstream Guards. Oh. And I held that job for a number of years, and I continued to shine my shoes, and I got promoted, and I became the Senior Director of Music of the Household Division. That job in itself was such a huge honour, and I still pinch myself today that I actually managed to do that. And I held the job for 4 years before I retired. And in that role, as the Senior Director of Music of the Household Division, I was responsible for all the state ceremonial music that you would hear. So Trooping the Colour, the Cenotaph, State Opening of Parliament, Changing the Guard at Buckingham Palace, any other parade you can think of, royal weddings, and of course, royal funerals. So that was my responsibility. So of course, when you're dealing with all that state ceremonial, you come in contact frequently with the royals. I mean, occasionally I had to go across to Buckingham Palace because we were doing events there, and I would bump into sometimes Her Majesty the Queen or the Duke of Edinburgh. So that's how I got to really meet and know them.
And do you have any anecdotes about Prince Philip or any stories that are personal to you that you will always remember?
I'm going to tell this story because I remembered it watching the television programmes. And of course, a lot of time is being spent with the wonderful work he did with the Duke of Edinburgh's awards. Now, you would think, why would the Senior Director of Music of the Household Division be talking about the Duke of Edinburgh Awards? Well, I'll tell you that once a year, they'd have the Gold Awards ceremony at St. James's Palace. And there are two awards per day, one in the morning, then break for lunch, and then one in the afternoon. And of course, the host of this was the Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. And so we'd have a little orchestra in the middle in a hallway, and you've got rooms either side, and the Duke would be walking around the rooms talking to all the children, a young adult, who have completed the award. And then at one point he would come and walk past the orchestra, and he'd always stop and say hello. And I'd say, good morning, sir. Notice I'm using the word sir and not His Royal Highness. Sir, because I'm the Senior Director of Music of the Household Division, and he is the Colonel Grenadier Guards. So I'm treating him as a senior officer. That's an important thing. So, good morning, sir. And he would say to me, he said, I can see here we've got some instruments. Oh, there's the scrapers. That's the violins and cellos. There's the blowers, the trumpets and the horns. And he's saying, there's the banger, the drummer. And he's saying, okay, where's the plonker, the piano player? Right? And so, and that was a routine. He used to go through that quite frequently. But then he'd say to me, and what are we playing on the flip side? What he meant by that was that, of course, he'd be coming back again for the second one in the afternoon. So he'd always say, what are you playing on the flip side? And I said to him one day, My Fair Lady, sir. He said, a wise choice, Director of Music.
So what kind of music do you think, did he like? What kind of things do you think we're going to hear at the funeral on Saturday?
Well, funeral's a different story. As you know about that, this is Forth Bridge. You know, and I sat on the planning, as all senior director of music do, sit on a massive planning committee that sits every 6 months that reviews everything. And you have to review and you go through and you're dealing with all the bridges, not just one, and reviewing the music, reviewing, because obviously as you get amalgamations of regiments, then of course all the orders of where people are going to stand, and it all changes. The parade is constantly being renewed and changed. And I remember that we'd completed Forth Bridge, and it was sent for approval, and it came back with a little note, and it said, I'd like a little bit more Commonwealth input, more Commonwealth actually on parade. Because remember, you know, the original Forth Bridge would have been a huge parade through central London, up the Mall.
Obviously, it's going to be a very scaled-back funeral. How would that? How do you think that will impact on it, on the preparations that were made as not, it was?
From a musical perspective, not a great deal. I'm sure you could imagine that, for example, the parade element, the ceremonial parade, you know, from the quadrangle, that we're going down to the west door at St George's Chapel at 8 minutes duration. That's fronted by the band of the Grenadier Guards, of which he was colonel. And they'll be playing, they will be playing funeral marches. Now, trust me, there are not a great deal of funeral marches in the world that can be played, but there are enough for a state funeral. So that's not going to change. Halfway down the route, because the route is going to be lined by servicemen from the regiments that he was involved with, not only regiments, but it's a tri-service, so Royal Air Force people, and of course the Royal Navy and the Royal Marines. And there'll be a Royal Marines band there in the middle, and they're known in this capacity as a street lining band. And what their job is to do is to play music until the procession comes past. It's setting the scene. It's giving the ambience of it. I'll tell you a little story about this. That I was once on an early morning rehearsal, of which there will be. So on the rehearsal in the morning, I was there and the commanding officer said, what music are you playing? And I said, do you mean the marching parade music or the incidental music? And the commanding officer said to me, Graham, there is nothing incidental in the household division. It's either inspection music or waiting music. So if there's nothing happening, it's waiting music. So the Royal Marines today will be playing waiting music because they're waiting for the procession with the Land Rover to come down the hill. And that will be the reflective Nimrod, that sort of wonderful music. That's the music that they'll be playing, Lady in Earth, those sort of bits, lots of Elgar and things like that. Then at the very bottom of the hill in the castle, in the cloisters where the west door is, there'll be the band of the Rifles, because he was also Colonel of the Rifles. And their job will be to play the national anthem to greet the cortege, if you wish, to come there before the Royal Marines then act as pallbearers and take the coffin into St George's Chapel.
What kind of music for people should that conjure up, you know, when you're thinking about Commonwealth music?
I think, actually, His Royal Highness wasn't really a man who wanted to really, not wanted to, is wrong, but really enjoyed music to its fullest. He appreciated music a lot and enjoyed it. I'll give you a little story here that I was performing a royal concert in Windsor Castle in the Waterloo Room, which is actually a quite intimate setting. And I had the front row seats were, of course, Her Majesty the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh. And I'm conducting this concert. And it's a concert of commissioned music, specially commissioned for the Coldstream Guards with the Royal Connection. And we played a piece of music, which is a suite by the English composer, Martin Ellerby. And this particular piece of music is called Portrait of a Lady. And after the concert, His Royal Highness came up to me and he said, he said, Director of Music, I was very interested in Portrait of a Lady. Tell me something about it. So I eventually introduced him to Martin Ellerby, the composer who I'd invited to the concert. And Martin explained to him that actually Portrait of a Lady sits in Windsor Castle in the apartments. There is a portrait of a lady. It's unnamed. Nobody knows who she is, but she's been there for hundreds of years. And what Martin was trying to reflect on is, imagine what that lady will have seen over those hundreds of years in Windsor Castle. And actually, the Duke of Edinburgh was absolutely fascinated with that concept of story and how the music supported that sort of narrative. It's quite amazing. And I was particularly impressed with the intellect he had in understanding the relationship between the visual picture, its history, its significance, and the music that was portrayed with it.
That's lovely. And that is how I would imagine him to be as well.
Absolutely. Very, very talkable. Very, very chattable man. Another story of Windsor was that once I'd retired, I then was involved in an event called Waterloo 200, which was celebrating the 200th anniversary of the Battle of Waterloo. And the Duke of Edinburgh was hosting a drinks reception. Now, drinks reception, when you've got a royal there, there's quite a format to it. You kind of put people in horseshoes. And my job was to escort the Duke to each group of people so he could have a little drink, a quick chat. Right? Now, this is in the Waterloo room.
Yeah.
Just down the corridor is the private apartments where Her Majesty the Queen is. And this is obviously before dinner. And the equerry came up to me. That's the equerry to the Duke of Edinburgh. And he came up and he said, Graham, we're looking at about half an hour for this. You know, just keep moving along, will you? Just half an hour. I said, okay. So the Duke got himself a gin and tonic in his hand and he started on his way. And he was having a really great time. And the equerry saying, Graham, we've got to move him along. I said, I can't move him anywhere. And the Duke was there for over an hour, you know, wandering around. Imagine what it was like in the kitchen, waiting for his dinner. But I just thought that was quite funny. And a real reflection on the man, that he was absolutely so interested in people. He wanted to talk to everybody, particularly people who were in the armed forces. Because he could relate to them. He could have a crack with them.
Do we know if he liked bagpipes?
Who does? It's a very good question, but he's listened to a lot of bagpipes in his time. You know, I know that. I've never known him say a bad word about bagpipes, but that doesn't mean he does or doesn't like bagpipes. Imagine if you're woken up every day at 9 o'clock in the morning with the Queen's Piper outside your bedroom. You probably become used to the sound of bagpipes. But I'm sure, there is... I believe there's a piper involved for the service, playing a lament, I believe, which probably I would guess would be Flowers of the Forest.